Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, one of the great American Catholic writers was Flannery O'Connor, a very gifted woman from the South who wrote spectacular stories about sin and grace. She died in 1964 at the age of 39. At the height of her literary career, after a long struggle with lupus. I think it was the comments in America Magazine, I'm not sure, comments on the readings for this feast day that referred to a short story by Flannery O'Connor titled Revelation. And so I went out, looked for it, and read it. It's a story about a farm woman from Georgia who tried to be good and compassionate, kind, just, fair. A woman from Georgia in the earlier part of the 20th century who lived with all the racial bigotry of her time and place. A woman who actually shared in some of those prejudices, even as she struggled against them. Who couldn't overcome her contempt for that group of people she called white trash. And it was just a wonderful story. She comes home from the beauty parlor back to her farm, to the things that had to be done, feeding chickens, whatever. And it's sunset. And she has this experience of a spectacular sunset. It was so glorious, as it's described in the end of the short story, that it fused into a vision for her of that final gathering of people, all people, at the end of the world. So the rays of the sun, the setting sun, with purple and gold and scarlet, the clouds, the rays, that she imagined that there were people from every corner of the universe marching on those rays into a final glory with God. And so they called it Revelation. The story is a splendid commentary on our readings and a wonderful introduction to the feast we celebrate today, All Saints. This is supposed to be a tribute, this Feast of All Saints, a tribute to all the unrecognized, heroically holy people over all the centuries of existence. People who were never beatified or canonized publicly, people who lived with a spectacular personal holiness. We may even know some of them, as a matter of fact. We may have worked with them, or over the years we may have buried them. We remember them with a great deal of fondness and respect. All of those folks whose name and faces come to mind if we stop to think about it, that's all part of this feast of All Saints. Who are they? Well, they're social workers. They're bartenders. They're beauty parlor operators. They're barbers, taxi drivers, garbage collectors, teachers, politicians, just all sorts of people, young and old, men and women, rich and poor, teenagers and adults, heroically holy. Like the question in the first reading, who are these people? Where do they come from? Well, everybody who fits into that characteristic really being holy. And by that, as you know from previous reflections over the years, people who, at least this is my working definition, people who are heroically honest about themselves, honest about their own limitations, but also honest about their gifts and acknowledge whatever they're good at, it's a gift. They didn't do it themselves. Heroically honest, even when it's embarrassing, one way or the other. people who are heroically generous. They give their word to do something and doggone it, they do it. Who are generous even when it hurts, even when it costs a lot. And people who are heroically humble before God, who have a sense of prayer in their own way. Those are the kind of people that all fit into this category of all saints. That's my working definition. So they don't have to be pious, just have to be holy. They come in all shapes and sizes. They're very conscious of their own sin and the grace in their lives. I suppose it's like folks who have accepted the spirituality of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. There is a God, AA says, and it's not you. There is a God, and it's not you. And these are people who have an honest sense of the fact that they don't have to pretend to be holier or smarter than they are, because who they are, by God's grace, is pretty nice. This is the year of the priest. There are brothers who are working the AA program, and I think they're very holy people as I get to know them and some of their struggles. And each of us probably could add our own list of folks with whom we live or work, are relatives of one kind or another. It's all those folks that are just good and holy people who struggle with sin and struggle with grace, and it just all fits together. The gospel passage of the Beatitudes was suggested earlier in our prayer this morning. It fits into this scenario because those people called blessed, fortunate, I like the word fortunate rather than blessed, because the word tries to suggest not only that they've received a gift, but they're delighted with it. So if you say blessed, it almost sounds as if it's only the gift received. And if you say happy, it's only the response to the gift. But if you say fortunate, it somehow combines that, both of them. All those people, all those different kinds of folks. Whenever I come to this beatitude, I always think of the rabbinic tale in which the rabbis say, when you come to heaven, and I probably said it here in this very pulpit before, but it always comes to mind with the Beatitudes. The rabbis say, when you get to heaven, the angel opens the door just about 6 inches and asks one question. And it isn't a question you expect. The question the angels ask, say the rabbis, is, do you like to dance? And if you say, well, not really, then the angel shakes his head and says, well, I don't think you're going to be happy here. If you say yes, the angel says, come on in, you'll be happy. Well, it comes to mind with the Beatitudes, not because these are people who necessarily like to dance. I don't know if they do or not. But these are the kind of people with whom God would be delighted to spend eternity. And who are they, as the voice question asked in the first group? Who are these people? Where do they come from? Well, they're poor in spirit. In other words, they know that everything is gift. Everything is gift. Including some of the tougher things in life, like Flannery O'Connor's lupus that took her at a mid 39 at the height of her career. But in the process of suffering that, life was refined for her. And she had a sharp sense of the irony of life and where grace was and where sin was, because she looked at everything so carefully. So who are these people? Well, they're poor in spirit. They know everything is a gift, even the tough things. Who are these people? Well, those who mourn. Not that God wants to be with sad people. God doesn't want to be with sad people. But God is interested in being with people who know how to live with some heartaches without being angry or resentful or vengeful or whining. God likes to spend time with people who know how to live with this stuff because everybody gets it. And you can hold on to it and be bitter, or you can somehow find a place for it in the larger scheme of life. God likes people who figure it out how to live with it. Or who work at making peace, who try to reconcile things that aren't easily reconciled. Or who are meek in the sense that they don't have to throw their weight around. They know, they get on the scale and they know it isn't a lot of weight to begin with. And so they don't throw it around. They don't need to. God likes to be with those people who work for righteousness, not just for justice, but for righteousness, which is different. It's biblical justice. It means the relationship of every creature with every other creature. These are the kind of people the angel says, come on and you'll be happy forever. And God will be happy with you. It's a feast of all saints. So God is calling all of us, each of us, to be in that great multitude. And it's Catholic to have an active sense of the communion of saints. All those people, bartenders, taxi drivers, beauty parlor operators, who knows? All those people are trying hard to be holy. In the words of James Joyce, the novel Ulysses, here comes the church, here comes the Catholic Church, here comes everybody. Or the words of Oliver Cromwell, warts and all. It's the Feast of All Saints. And somehow, by God's grace, that's intended also to be a feast, not only the people we love and remember with special affection, but also ourselves. Gospel of the Lord.